And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, April 23rd, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How you doing?
I'm doing just great for a Friday. Thank you very much for asking, and hope all is well with you.
Everything going just fine. It's Friday, and it looks like a pretty nice weekend coming up. A little bit of rain, but warm, so I'm not complaining.
All right. Peachy keen. I know snow. There's no snow.
No, there's no snow. Would you believe it snowed here all day yesterday off and on? It didn't amount to much, but I got up this morning, and all my apple blooms have turned brown. I mean, all the apple trees have been burned. I hate that.
Yeah, we had freeze two nights in a row. No snow, but no, we got down to that 32-degree level, so.
Well, you know,
it happens this time. It does, and in
the late summer, deer come and graze those apples all day long, and the cows enjoy them, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I miss them for that reason alone, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it was a little cool today for gold, also down 750. Not bad at 1,777. Silver was down 16 pennies at 2,606. However, platinum was up. It was the winner of the day, 2.3% at $1,236. Palladium was up 16 at $2,916. Oh, I forgot to do the dollar. Ooh. The USDX today was down 0.47 at 90.81. Big drop. Crude oil was up 70 cents at 62.13. And the S&P had a rebound more than 1%. It certainly has been a volatile week, but it's funny listening to the mainstream programs today, the financial ones. They were talking about, oh, it was a terrible day yesterday in the paper markets. That was down 300 points. That's, you know, it's not even 0.5%, you know, and they were crying about a 300-point drop. It reversed itself today. It was the Dow was up 227 points at 34,043. S&P was up 45 at 4,180. The NASDAQ was up 198 at 14,016. And that's 10-year yield, 1.57. And, you know, it was, you know, just another day in the neighborhood. So it's, Butch, it's just, I guess we're kind of in the no news is good news, although there's all kinds of news going on out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's can't keep up with it all. We'd be here for 5 hours a day.
And still wouldn't get finished. No way. Because news changes faster than we can get it out.
This is true.
You know,
this is true.
It does. But, you know, you watch the markets, like you said, and a 300-point drop with a 34,000 market, that's a big deal.
I know. And you would have thought they were crying and whining. And, you know, of course, it was Biden's comment yesterday. This is what they blamed it on. He was going to come out and say capital gains is going to 40%. And it's like, does he even really know what he's saying?
Or is it all just
to test the markets to see what is willing to be accepted and absorbed?
If Biden says anything, it has because he's been totally memorized it. I can't imagine him doing a whole lot on his own. And I'm not going to pick him, poor guy, but he's not playing the full deck. And whether it's his fault or not makes no difference if he's not playing the full deck. But, I mean, I was surprised the market reacted even to that. I mean, the market doesn't react to anything anymore.
I know. That is very true. And, you know, I know you're going to talk about inflation a little bit later on in the program. I don't know if you have anything in there. We've talked periodically about lumber.
Yes, we'll discuss that, yes.
You have lumber for today's program?
We do.
And okay, well, then I'll save it.
Okay. We do. We really do.
But,
now's your chance to talk before I get on a roll. So you better get started.
Oh, well, you know, I know you have a lot of topics you want to talk about, and a lot of them are the same ones that I was going to talk about, but You know, the, so, I mean, if you just want to get started.
Okay, well, yeah, we can because.
Yeah, because my reports are yours.
All right. Well, we'll just take turns then. Anyway, the Week magazine reported this, and I thought, you don't know how much money they're spending for certain things, and this is about illegal immigration, migrant teenagers and children coming in the country. But the Biden administration is spending an estimated $60 million per week. That's a quarter of billion a month to care for the more than 16,000 migrant teenagers and children housed in 10 large emergency shelters operated by the Department of Health and Human Services. Melody, that's a quarter billion dollars a month. So every 4 months, you're spending $1 billion to house illegal children. Now, I love children. I really do. I'm about ready to be a great grandpa. I love children. But I just cannot justify this illegal immigration, illegal migrants coming across the border, no matter what age they are, and throw them in on the taxpayer. I can't understand that. I just don't get it. I don't have all the answers about it, but I know for sure that it's not our responsibility to feed the world's children. And not because I don't love them, and wouldn't if I could, but we can't afford that, can we?
No, we can't. But you know what? We have so many people on unemployment and with benefits that don't want to go back to work. We need workers in this country.
But these are children. They're not able to go to work yet.
I'm just kidding. I'm kind of kidding there.
Okay, I get it. Okay. But it really is.
Part of that is true, though, most likely. Their parents or those, you know, we focus on the children. Well, what about all the other ones that are coming? What about all the other illegal aliens that are coming in and that are being dropped off in the various cities around this country? You know, they'll be the ones that'll pick up the jobs that no one wants to go back to work for. So those jobs won't be there. And unfortunately, those on the benefits, I guess they'll just have to remain there.
Well, you know, and what we know is happening to a lot of children. And the United States is number one child trafficking country in the world. I don't like to think this, but why wouldn't that be one of the sources? Folks, I hate to say that, but no point in burying a head in the sand. This is for real happenings in this country and around the world today. There's big money in child trafficking. We know that. So, prayerfully, they're being fed and clothed and not mistreated. I don't know the whole story on that, but it is sad. And what better people take advantage of than someone tossed across the fence, so to speak, and no one look after them on this side?
Yeah.
That's kind of scary, but it is what it is. It is what it is. And I'll share this because I thought it was interesting. A rare edition of a comic in which Superman made his first appearance sold at an online auction house for a record $3.25 million. There are thought to be only 100 remaining copies of this issue. It's over 10 cents back in 1938. And $3.25 million for a comic book. Golly, I wish I'd saved some of those when I was growing up. Gee, 10 cents. And a woman in Louisiana was arrested after spending a portion of $1,205,619.56 deposited in error into her Charles Schwab brokerage account. The company, which had meant to deposit $2.56, tried to retrieve the money the next day, but a quarter of the funds were already gone. The woman ignored calls and messages for a month, using money to buy a house and a Hyundai SUV. Oops. So, she actually did do wrong, but she didn't put the money in her account, did she?
No.
What's your opinion on that one, young lady?
I had my bank make a mistake like that to me once, and it was actually in the account overnight.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And, of course, they didn't tell you about it. I just saw it when I got my statement, and I saw, oh. And it was multiple millions of dollars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You were wealthy for one night.
Yeah, in fact, it was $4 million. It was $4 million.
Gosh,
I didn't make that deposit.
You could have took a week off.
I could have. I could have.
You know, we laugh about that, but I mean, the lady knew it wasn't her money, so I guess that's technically stealing. But she didn't make the mistake; they did.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you balance that out? I mean, what do you do?
No, you don't. I mean, there's no question about what you do, Butch. I mean, it isn't yours, so you don't take it.
I know that, but uh-huh. But they made the mistake.
They did make the mistake. They were,
she's in trouble. I understand that. But somehow or another, they need to, they put the money in there. That's all I can say. I don't know. It's just odd things. It's never happened to me yet.
What was that old, ownership is?
What is it? Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Unfortunately, it was only hers for a little bit, but nonetheless. And now we're going back to the lumber situation. You know, I knew this was happening because the price of lumber is going through the roof. It's absolutely skyrocketing. I mean, it's unbelievable. But this is a record happening. It's never happened before in this country. Rare lumber trade shows how extreme U.S. shortages have become. Now, it's hard to imagine a nation that's full of and blessed so many with so many different types of hardwoods and softwoods in this country. And the logging in West Virginia is one of the biggest industries you have, right next to coal mining. You know, coal mining is always number one. The log industry is booming around here. I mean, everybody's hauling all they can. We have one plant that's called Columbia of West Virginia. They use poplar trees, and they can take in a poplar tree that's 2 or 3 foot in diameter and put it on a lathe, and they make plywood, cut plywood out of it, the outer layer of plywood, and they can make that into a 4-inch pole, you know, just about zzz, and it's done. So they're going through a lot of lumber. But I never thought I'd see a time when we ran out of lumber for building materials. Because we've been shipping a lot of this overseas for years. You know that, Melody. Japan, other places. And now we're running out ourselves. It says, lumberyard reverses supply chain flow with sale to distributor. Postponed construction projects create odd trade flow moves. For a look at just how extreme America's shortage of lumber had become, consider this. For the first time in recent memory, a lumberyard was the one selling wood to a supplier. This kind of trade is virtually unheard of. In the normal world, wholesale distributors buy lumber from sawmills and sell that to the yards that home builders frequent. But lumber markets today are anything but normal. Futures have surged by more than 60% to record levels this year as the entire timber supply chain collapses under the weight of soaring demand from people renovating their homes and buying bigger ones. Sawmills can't keep up with the orders. Truck shipments have been delayed, and distributors are running short on product. That's how crazy the marketplace is, said RCM Alternatives Lumber analyst Brian Leonard, who has covered the industry for 35 years and has previously never heard of lumberyards selling to distributors. Obviously, it shouldn't happen. You never push product back up the chain, but you can today because of the validity of the market, volatility of the market. What's more, reverse trades like the one that occurred earlier this month threaten to push wood prices higher. That's what we need, more inflation. Distributors buying back supply from yards would inevitably mark up prices to the consumers they resell to, potentially creating a vicious cycle that continues to stoke what has already proven to be an unrelenting lumber rally. So, as we said before, lumber prices are going through the roof, but now they're going to mark them up higher. I have a scarcity, yes, but because they can also. So the consumer ends up paying for this snafu, whatever the reason may be. It trickles back down to me and you, Melody. So if you want to buy a 2x4, you can spend $9 enough for 2x4. That's the last price I checked it. And I don't know what it is now. It could be higher. But I remember years ago buying 2x4s for 47 cents a piece. Now they're $9 the last time I checked about a month ago. So the lumber supply chain is really out of order right now, which means it's going to cost you and I more to do things around the house.
And, you know, it's just like with any other product. It's almost like, you know, with the Silver Eagles to some degree. Lumber prices, you know, you questioned about, you know, we have so much lumber here and everything like that. But the logs are dirt cheap. fees that are paid for trees, like in Louisiana, they fell to the lowest levels since 2011. So think about that. All these lumber prices are going crazy, but yet the demand for wood is skyrocketing. The shares of wood suppliers are surging, and yet the trees themselves are just dirt cheap.
Which means the loggers aren't making a lot of money.
No.
It figures. The guy on the lower end does most of the work, ends up losing the most.
And then you get into these wholesalers, and I mean, they're the ones that are, you know, making all the money, and then of course the next level, the retailers. So, yeah. So it's just like our farms, our ranchers, and, you know, they make the least, and yet the grocery stores and the people in the middle, as you said, make the most. So it's just so out of balance. And I don't know, is this a true demand of inflation, or is it a true demand of when you have the trees going for such a low price? I mean, it is backwards. It's totally backwards.
Well, when you read that the distributors are buying back the supply from yards.
Yeah.
And they're going to mark up the prices.
Yeah.
Okay, because they can. Now, I'm going to share, this has been about 3-4 years ago. Our local power company here, Mon Power, I was talking to one of the workers. He was out on the road, and I was next to where near my son's house, and he was there. And I just kind of talking to him, and I went about the conversation up, but he said, your electricity prices are going to double within about a year. And I was kind of, well, really? I said, why? And he shrugged, said, because they can. And they did. Mine more than doubled. Now, maybe he didn't know what really the reason was, but his answer was because they can. Well, if these suppliers are buying them back and marking prices because they can, the lumber's already there. So they're buying them back, marking prices, but because they can. And our power bill more than doubled in the last couple of years. That's just my little story there.
I mean, here in Alabama, the stumpage fees are slightly higher than what Louisiana's is, but they've barely budged since 2016 and are half the price that they fetched in 2005. I mean, that really is incredible when we're seeing the prices just skyrocket as it is. So, things are out of whack. It's not normal. It just goes to show you how fragile these systems are. And prices will have to do something.
Well, the supplier and the lower end loses, and the consumer pays for it.
Okay. Yep. We're heading into break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TimUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. We're talking about lumber heading into the break. What's our next topic, Butch?
Well, you know, it seems that it's all ties up to eventually to inflation for the consumer, but this is another move. But this is, I guess we should have foreseen somewhat, and we have, but not this degree. Corn leads surge in crops with global supply concerns mounting. Now, corn and soybean and other grains are the staple of most of the products in America as far as breads and cereals, whatever. So when it runs out, when it gets scarce, guess who's going to put the bill for that again also, folks? So you can't afford to build on the house, you're going to have a hard time putting groceries on the table. Corn extended its ascent to the highest in almost 8 years, leading a rally in crop futures on bets that voracious Chinese demand, rebounding economies, and adverse weather will leave silos depleted. Corn jumped by the exchange limit with wheat following and soybeans topping $15 a bushel for the first time since 2014. Cold and drought in some regions are stoking concern there won't be enough grain and oil seed to satisfy China's massive need for livestock feed or to meet growing biofuel demand as the world economy recovers from the virus pandemic. Make a footnote here, Melody. Biden has said, this is Biden said this, folks, he wants Americans to quit consuming so much red beef. He wants beef production down by 90%. 90%. And that means that each American is allowed to have 4 burgers a year. I'm serious. I'm not making this up.
I heard that. It's so funny.
I'm not making this up. But China is so eager for more corn that's already scooping up next season's crop. Now, think about that. That's going to make a shortage for sure. And demand isn't expected to slow this year. Investors have been piling in agricultural commodities as tight global stockpiles mean unfavorable weather could cause prices to rally further, with money managers raising their net bullish wagers on corn to a 10-year high last week. And if it is like they say it is, it could go much higher than that. But again, it comes back down to the consumer and the price on food. Now, we've been sharing this melody for years. We know inflation has never went away. There's been inflation since 1964 at the latest, because when the dollar becomes fiat, inflation is a common occurrence. But when there's shortage in supply also, that just doubles the problem, doesn't it?
It certainly does. But after a while, though, because inflation is so high, the demand isn't there any longer. So, you know, that side of the equation will drop, but you still have the inflation and people can't afford, people won't be able to afford the prices. So prices will stay high, but you'll have all of this inventory.
Well, I just, this is hitting us. Everybody where it hurts, you know, especially in the food industry. I mean, most of us have to eat every day, and we have children. They will eat the furniture if you don't feed them. So, you know, this is really a serious situation. For people already struggling, I feel sorry for them. I truly do, because the food price is going up is something that you got to eat. But what can you give up? What other things can you do without in order to put food on the table? So this is coming. It's now here. The prices will be increasing, I think, pretty soon in the stores, folks. Just keep your eyes on it. I know that the price of good beef in the store nowadays is out of sight. I'm so glad I get to raise my own. It's unbelievable. But anyway,
I can't even believe Biden would even make that announcement that we can only... Who's going to dictate and tell us that we can only eat 4 pounds of beef a year?
Four burgers a year.
It was four. No, I think
no, four
it was
a month,
four
I'm
pounds.
Sorry, four. Yeah, four pounds. 4 burgers a month. Yes. Okay. Excuse me. Yes.
It was 4 pounds a year.
A year.
I
yeah.
Thought.
4 burgers a month. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how many. You know,
that's what
some
they averaged
people.
Out.
So you have to eat all your burgers in 1 month if you have 4 pounds a year. But I mean, it's like, Are you kidding me? Telling us what we can eat, when we can eat it, and it's true, the elite, they'll have all their prime beef whenever they want it.
Of course.
They just have to take it from us. Or try.
So why do you think they've been coming out with all this fake meat in these fast food markets now?
Absolutely.
And people say they taste just like real beef.
Yeah, just like snake tastes like chicken, okay?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, it just amazes me, Butch, that it gets so little feedback.
I know.
It's like, who's going to tell me what I can eat when I can eat it? Excuse me. But it tells you what country we live in anymore.
It does. And think of the arrogancy behind that.
Yes.
I mean, we are treated worse than hirelings. When they tell you how much food you can have and what kind you can have. How did we get here? And will we tolerate it? That's my question also.
I believe, well, number one, if prices for beef get so high, that's probably all anybody can afford. It's maybe £4 a year.
Well, that may mean there's a lot more venison going on tables to deer about wiped out. You never know. That happened during the Depression. My dad told me growing up, you were hard pushed to find a groundhog in the field. People were hungry, you know?
Yep.
So he remembers those days. Of course, he's going on now, but he remembered that he told me about it when he was growing up. So, yeah, what is the next move on this? I have no idea. No idea. That's why we tell people they need to stock up some food. Who knows what the future holds? I can't tell you all the details. I just know they're talking about it, and eventually when they talk about it, they're going to do it. Now they want to put out vacuums. Now, I'm not making this up. This is proposed in California. Put out vacuums, cleaners, sweepers, to get the carbon dioxide out of the air. I'm serious as I can be.
Well, that's
about
just as bad as Gates' idea, is putting dust to dim the sun.
But carbon dioxide out of the air means plants don't breathe.
Yeah, neither do we, right?
Exactly. I mean, this is beyond insane. You can't imagine a word to describe this. I mean, and we actually, it's on the news and being taken seriously. You know, Melody, 50 years ago, people would laugh this right out of existence.
Oh, I know. And, you know, when I was reading an article where they were talking about this, and there was that summit with Biden and the Chinese leaders and so forth, and it's just like, I mean, they're laughing. They're not doing anything. This, with the climate control, Biden comes in and offers all this stuff, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And what does China do? They go and they're continuing to open coal mines at a rapid pace because they know what it's all about.
Yes.
America can't change the world anymore. We can't dictate what countries do. We can't do things to, I mean, one point in time, maybe we could show a good example and other nations would follow, but we can't even do that anymore. We're becoming the laughing stock.
And rightfully so.
And what other leader is going to pay attention to Biden when these statements are just unbelievable? I don't know, Butch. It's pretty crazy to me.
I mean, we're laughing, but it really isn't funny. I mean, this again is in the scripture, by the way. Israel would become the laughing stock of the world when they sinned against God. America would become the laughing stock of the world also. So these are biblical examples of what happens to a nation forgets God. Insanity. Deuteronomy 28:28 said, I'll smite them with madness. And when you start talking about sucking carbon dioxide there with vacuum sweepers, I think that's pretty much madness.
But you know what? I told people I watched that semi-documentary on the seas and the overfishing and how, you know, the... You know, how they're just destroying the industrial fishing and everything. And this documentary had said that there is more climate change coming from the changes in the sea than they ever thought about their so-called climate change from carbon monoxide.
Really?
Yes, they says that, and that's why, and no one is even thinking or talking about the seas and the oceans and the condition that they're in and the changes, how it changes everything to the waters warming. Says it doesn't have anything to do with what they tell you, and it's being totally ignored, the real reasons of why these changes are happening. It's a very interesting documentary, and again, it's you know I don't know enough about it, so I can't say, you know, things in there might not have been a little sensationalized or something. It, after all, is a was a documentary, but I'm not sure it's 100%. I tried to do a little research on it and got into a little bit of trouble because what they were talking about, Japan, they're fishing. They talked about all the fish, the dolphins and the sharks that are just killed as a byproduct of other fishing, and the importance of having dolphins and whales and sharks in the ocean. And I never had any idea the impact that comes. You know, you think about, oh, well, there's no more fish. You know, if they overfish, there's no more fish. But it's so much more the effects that it can have. So very interesting. So anyway.
Well, you know, with Fukushima in the last 10 years spilling out radioactive water all through the Pacific, we know that. Now, this is a thing. Look it up online and find the scientific fact that much, much, much of the marine life in the Pacific Ocean, especially along the northern Pacific, has been wiped out. Now, that, folks, check it out for yourself. I'm not making this up. It's sad. It truly is sad, but it's happening.
But they actually, this documentary talks about how they troll like the bottoms of the oceans with their nets and everything, and what it does to destroy the bottom layers of the ocean, the all the things that are down there, and the food supplies of various, you know, you might not be fishing for, you know, some of those other types of organisms and so forth that. But it affects the food chains of the ocean. I mean, it really is incredible.
Yes,
and with Fukushima, it's just added problems. So
it's really, really is sad. And man has made a big hurt sometimes on the earth. We know that. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. I mean, even back when they started early gold mining, they would use big washer plants, washer guns to wash off the whole sides of mountains to get to the gold. But this is what man has a tendency to get for greed, by greed, to get as much you can as fast you can and not worry about the future. Been away ever since man had been created, unfortunately. But a different topic here. Over $200 billion wiped off cryptocurrency market in a day as Bitcoin plunges below $50,000. Bitcoin and other digital coins plunged on Friday, wiping out $200 billion of the value of the cryptocurrency market. President Biden is expected to raise long-term capital gain taxes for the wealthiest Americans to 43.4%, including a surtax. That's led to a wave of selling in crypto markets, which have had a great year, with Bitcoin climbing more than sixfold in the last 12 months. Bitcoin and other digital currencies plunged on Friday, says, because of the gains tax. But it's went on down to talk about the percentage of the drop, and it was huge. It really was. I mean, everything from Bitcoin on down to the least expensive coin has dropped hugely in just one day. But Biden is actually talking about the capital gains tax of 43.4%, Melody. And we're not going to finish. We got another one talking about Biden and some more taxes he wants to propose. I mean, he really is sincerely going after the money off the people, knowing that it's not going to make any difference. It's not going to pay the debt. They're not taxing people now. They never did tax people to pay the debt. I just goes to service the debt. It doesn't pay the debt. It just pays maybe some interest on the debt. But they never have done that. And all that we pay in every year couldn't pay it off in 10,000 years. So this is not about servicing the national debt. It's about controlling the people. Any comments on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's also for the new programs that they want to create. They have to show that they have a way to pay for them. So it doesn't have anything to do about the past debt, or it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's about going forward with new debt. So that's why they're talking, and what they're going to do is they're going to try to increase every tax that they can. You know, it's just like anything else. You throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. So yeah, you're going to hear some very incredible things, coming out. I mean, eating 4 pounds of beef a year. I mean, come on. That's not going to stick to the wall. That's, you know, but, you know, and everybody focuses on the little things too. And that way, and that's another way to get away with the bigger things. And so, yeah, it's, taxes are going to rise. Taxes will always rise. I don't care who's in office. It won't change. And get that second job, because you'll have to pay for your taxes, or they limit your growth.
That's very true.
And that's the whole key too.
And they say it's all for programs, but it's not. It's just, again, by control, folks. They're not funding programs by taxes. They print the money.
No, it's just on paper. It's like, okay, this is what we want.
Exactly.
We want $2.5 trillion for infrastructure, and this is how we're going to get it. It's meaningless because, number one, if they want $2.5 trillion for infrastructure, by the end of the deal, they'll be at $5 trillion. So, you know. And, you know, then they have to show, in order to get it all approved through all their accounting processes and so forth, like, okay, well, if we tax these people, we tax this people. Well, if we go out, it'll be paid for in 20 years. You know, it's ridiculous. Such a waste of energy.
We've been caught.
Like, what
the
do
same
these
con
people do? Exactly.
The same con. The same con
the
for
same
my lifetime
con.
And longer. Same one on, on, on. And we got time, I think, one more report here. Foxconn finally admits it won't create 13,000 jobs in Wisconsin. This was a big deal when it was talked about years ago. Was it a couple of years ago? I think 2018. Yeah. But some ideas makes a little economic sense that even the large corporate subsidy ever awarded by a state government isn't enough. It's been obvious for quite some time that Wisconsin's highly touted deal with Taiwanese tech company Foxconn was going to fall well short of the lofty promises made by project supporters. Then President Trump, for example, predicted in 2018 that the planned factory on the outskirts of Milwaukee would be nothing less than the eighth wonder of the world. So they said they're going to be hiring 1,454 people instead of 13,000. They're going to spend $672 million to build the plant instead of $10 billion. So obviously, it's not going to be anywhere near the eighth wonder of the world, as Trump said it's going to be. From 13,000 jobs down to less than 1,500 is quite a cut in jobs, Melody.
Yes, it is. And it's quite a cut in time, because we're heading into break. We'll be right back.
Yes.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
Do you realize, Melody, that in 1 week we'll be a third of the way through another year?
I know.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how fast time is going. It really is.
But could you slow it up, please?
I wish I could. I know it's everybody already probably feels this, but it's Friday today, be Monday tomorrow, and Friday again next day after that. That's how fast weeks go by.
Oh.
I mean, a month's like a week used to be.
Yep.
You know, it just goes up fast.
I know.
And we could probably foresee this coming on this. 2 in 3 people want to work remotely full-time after the pandemic ends. With the end of COVID-19 finally in sight, employers are probably counting the days until their offices reopen. However, a new survey finds they shouldn't expect their workers to come flowing through the door, even after the pandemic. In fact, 58% of remote workers now say they would look for a new job if they can't keep working from home. Does that mean that the job demands will shift into the home? Is that possible? We'll see. The Flex Job Survey of 2,100 people worldwide who either worked remotely during COVID or are still working from home reveals a growing popularity of never setting foot in an office again. Just 11% said not being allowed to work at home anymore wouldn't bother them. The poll, completed in early April, also finds 65% want to keep working remotely full-time even if COVID ends. 1 in 3 would prefer a hybrid arrangement involving some office work and some days at home. A mere 2% say they are looking forward to working in an office full-time again. You know, I don't know how this worked. I had no idea of productivity. I don't know how this is really going for the companies. But if the company's still making money and prospering, wouldn't it be cheaper to let them stay at home instead of run an office?
Well, it would be if you have employees that are disciplined enough to continue working. I mean, they've been there for a year. They couldn't go anywhere else. So, I mean, they pretty much had to stay home and work. But just wait until things are open 100% and, you know, they're all ready to go out and play. I don't think it's going to be the same. I think they're going to not – I think they'll be distracted and – a lot of it's not going to work as the productivity will be going down. And it's kind of like, too, yeah, employers would save money. They don't have the offices, the expenses of working. But I know it just amazes me that people will dictate and quit their job just because they can't get what they want.
Yes.
I mean, to me, that sounds a little spoiled, you know. It's like,
you
wow,
<reckon?
laughs> you know. Oh, I'm gonna, and that's fine if you want to work at home and go look, but sounds more like threat to business owners that if you don't let me work at home, I'll just go someplace else, and that would be fine. Go.
You know, self discipline. I won't say it's rare in America today, but it's rarer than it used to be. I'm still working part-time in sales, but I worked 40-some years in sales where I worked straight commission. If I didn't get out and go, we didn't eat. And I have to admit, some mornings it's hard to get motivated. We look outside, and the wind's blowing, it's cold, and it's snowing. You get on the road and go, but you had to do it. You went, because I had family to feed. And that does take self-discipline. I think it's lacking a lot more in this generation than it was even a couple generations ago, no doubt. But we'll see what happens with this. If you eat and depends upon working, maybe they keep on working. If they don't get handouts from feds all the time in the states not to work, maybe they will work. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, we've lost that agenda in the last several years, so
yeah,
we'll see.
Okay.
Okay. New home sales explode in March to highs in 15 years. You know, I know the interest rates and things had a lot to do with this. But people are struggling during COVID. How'd they switch around so fast? Where'd the money come from? But anyway, unlike the disastrous drop in existing home sales in March, analysts expect new home sales to rebound aggressively from the weather-impacted 18.2% collapse in February. And it did. New home sales exploded 20.7% higher in month-to-month in March. Thanks to the base effect, this means new home sales are up a stunning 66.8% from last March's lockdown lows. Where did all this money... Now, I'm not being facetious here. I mean this seriously. But if they couldn't afford to buy food, how all of a sudden they find money to get a home? I know they can borrow it, but how are they going to make payments if this has been so tough?
Stimulus checks from the government.
Well,
I don't know.
Payments,
you know,
on the house.
Well, I mean, a lot of these are people who have sold their homes and are, you know, buying new homes. And so, you know, just getting new mortgages. And they most of likely with the rise of prices had profit from the sale of their home. So they're just going from one mortgage to another.
These are new home sales. The resale homes
are not, coming on the market. So that's pushing the new home sales higher. So.
I guess you're going to sell your home. Now's a good time to do it.
It certainly is.
I would think so. It would be a good time to do it.
Yep.
And this we knew already, no doubt, with the Chauvin trial and what happened there, and whether he's guilty or innocent, there's a lot of stress on the people in this, in the jury and everybody else, maybe to find him guilty. I'm not saying he wasn't guilty. I'm not saying that at all. But there's so much pressure, so much stress on the whole country, not just Minnesota. But the whole country was on edge. Could the man find a fair trial? Then when Jackson come out and said what she said, that added more to it. Matter of fact, they say it may even be cause enough to give him another trial and declare that a mistrial because of what she said. But anyway, alternate juror on Chauvin trial says she feared riots, people turning up at her home. Now, that very well could have happened. A woman who sat as an alternate juror on the Derek Chauvin trial told a local news station that she was concerned about rioting and destruction, as well as people turning up at her house if they were angry at the verdict. Now, Melly, that doesn't bode for a fair trial, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I mean, whether he's guilty or not, that's not the issue. The issue is he didn't really have a chance. Lisa Christensen, who revealed to KAR 11 how the riots had preceded the verdict, were close to her house, and that she routinely witnessed them after the trial had concluded for the day. When I came home, I could hear the helicopters flying over my house. I could hear the flashbangs going off. If I stepped outside, I could see the smoke from the grenades. One day, the trial ran a little late, and I had trouble getting to my house because the protesters were blocking the interstate, so I had to go way around. So she didn't have to serve on the jury after all, but nonetheless, she was scared to death for her own life. So how can she be a fair, unbiased juror when she's afraid that she might get killed or have her house burnt down for finding a man innocent? What do you think?
I mean, I agree. I mean, number one, that trial should have been held in another city, another location. There's a lot of things that trial that you're right. I mean, there was so much pressure. The family of Floyd getting $27 million days before the trial. Could have waited until afterwards. There was just a lot of, you know, just I agree. I'm sure he should, you know, I have my opinion on whether he was guilty or not, but it was still up to those 12 jurors. And I'll tell
it
you
was,
what, if any one of those jurors, had thought differently, I can't even imagine the type of riots that would have happened across this country.
And that makes, I don't care again, from what I can see, he did do some things he shouldn't have done.
Absolutely.
But you can't have a fair trial. You can't have a fair trial whenever people are scared to make a judgment.
Yeah. And then they use it for the whole year. They use the whole year of this, you know, the mainstream media getting everybody fired up. And, you know, and I even actually heard someone today compare this to like the O.J. Simpson, that this trial was between blacks and whites. And it's like O.J. Simpson, he was trying to compare that the Simpson trial was between blacks and white, and it wasn't. I never remembered it being, you know, between black and white.
Not
the O.J. Simpson trial?
Not even close. Not even close.
I never even thought it was at the time.
Not even close.
Huh. So this is how, you know, how people see things so differently. And it's, I don't know. But,
well, sometimes it's convenient for them to see it differently.
Yes.
To make their point or make news. It really is.
That's true.
But
they have fired up the natives of this country, the citizens of this country, both sides. And now it's not even both sides. Even each side is being divided again. So it's
sad. It really is sad. America's come to a bad, bad situation. Arizona Democrats file last-minute lawsuit seeking to block 2020 election audit. And we're going to cover this, but I wonder what they're afraid of. Why should they care? If the election was fair and they know it, why should they care about having an audit? It's just going to prove them right. Think about it, folks. The Arizona Democratic Party filed a lawsuit on Thursday seeking to stop the state Senate from carrying out an audit of the 2020 election results in Maricopa County. The complaint filed in Maricopa County Superior Court comes just before the audit is set to begin on Friday. That's today. In preparation, 2.1 million ballots as well as voting equipment that includes 385 tabulators were delivered to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Phoenix, the site of the planned audit. An emergency court hearing has been scheduled for the case 11 o'clock a.m. this Friday, so it'll be 2 o'clock Eastern East Coast time. So it should be over by an hour right near it, I'd say. The Arizona Democratic Party and Steve Cardarello, the sole Democrat on the five-member Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, argue in the lawsuit that the planned audit is in violation of various statutory and election procedures manual provisions. They allege that the planned audit lacks various safeguards and requirements, are lacking to perform a secure and reliable audit, and as such, the planned audit undermines integrity and security of the state's election and voter information. My gosh, they stayed in after midnight, still count votes and bringing votes in, which is totally against the law, a federal election. But now they're screaming that this might not go down fairly. I'd say they must have something to hide, or they won't be protesting so loudly. What do you think, Melody?
Well, I agree with you. If there's nothing, you know, if everything was all right, then what's the problem? You know, and that's what I've said. And then you hear the comment, well, you know, it was just a little. It wouldn't have changed anything. But that's the whole point. Even if it's a little, you need to fix it. You know, it's just totally...
Well, if vote counting can't be reliable,
yeah,
then why vote?
Why vote?
And this
maybe
is
that's the whole
goodness.
Point too.
Yeah, I can understand that people get frustrated. No doubt about it.
Well, that's one way to keep people from voting.
Yes, it is. Discourage them. I understand. Yeah. I understand. I can really see that. Fighting escalates in eastern Ukraine, signaling the end of another ceasefire. The war between Ukraine, which has been on a low simmer for months, drawing little international attention, has escalated sharply in recent days, according to statements on Tuesday from the Ukrainian and Russian governments. In the deadliest engagement so far this year, four Ukrainian soldiers were killed and another seriously wounded in a battle against Russian-backed separatists in the Donetsk area of the region of eastern Ukraine, the country military said. The soldiers' deaths, along with a buildup of Russian forces on the border, has seized the attention of senior American officials in Europe and Washington. In the past week, the U.S. Military European Command raised its watch level from possible crisis to potential imminent crisis, the highest level, in response to the deployment of additional Russian troops. The exchange of artillery and machine gun fire in the Donetsk region was unusual in that it lasted most of a day. Fighting across the so-called line of contact, the roughly 250-mile-long barricaded trenches and fortifications are typically briefer. So they raise it to the highest level imminent war breaking out. The highest level, you know, that can be raised. So that should be concerning. don't you think?
It should be. And, you know, it's funny because I also heard today that Russia was actually pulling some troops back.
Wow.
So, interesting.
And Israel police arrest dozens in night of chaos in Jerusalem. Israel police say 44 people were arrested and 20 officers were wounded in light of chaos in Jerusalem, where security forces separately clashed with Palestinians angry about Ramadan restrictions and Jewish extremists who held an anti-Arab march nearby. Tensions have spiked in recent days in Jerusalem, which has long been a flashpoint in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and is home to holy sites sacred to Jews, Christians, and Muslims. Residents braced for possible further unrest as police stepped up security and the U.S. Embassy appealed for calm. There were concerns that the violence could reignite following Friday's prayers at a major holy site in Jerusalem, but thousands of worshipers dispersed peacefully after Muslim religious leaders called for restraint. You know, folks, you find the root of this in your Bible, by the way. Abraham and Sarah. Sarah lost faith about having a child because she's getting so old and told Abraham, go in with Hagar, her maidservant, and let her bear a son for Abraham, and he did. And Ishmael was born. After that, Isaac born. There's been a conflict between these two races ever since then. So this is also in the Bible. All right, we're out of time.
We are out of time. I want to thank each and every listener for joining us today. Thank you, Butch. Thank you, Todd. And we'll be back tomorrow, Monday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.